Everywhere I go, I see them over and over and over again. I can't get away from them. These wise men, these magi, I see them not just once a season at Christmas time in your celebration. I see them every second of every day that I have my eyes open. You see, because where I live, and let me remind you, you don't want to live there. Where I live, I see the truth in front of me all day, every day, and there's nothing that I can do about it. You probably don't recognize me. Fair enough, because I don't really make it into your Christmas presentations, and I don't make it into your greeting cards, your theatrics, not a part of your holiday songs. So you probably don't recognize me. I'm the king of the Jews, Herod. I particularly like the title Herod the Great. So if you prefer, go ahead and reference me that way. That's the way I like it in my kingdom. You may not know much about me, but you should. You see, my family, we were very, very connected, very powerful. In fact, my dad, Antipater, he knew the leader of the known world at that time. The most powerful empire on the face of the earth was the Roman Empire, led by none other than Julius Caesar. And Julius Caesar was a friend of my dad, Antipater. See, that's the community I kind of grew up in. And I knew Octavian, who worked for Julius Caesar. Octavian and I became friends, and Octavian really gave me my start in conquering some of the provinces and some of the kingdoms that I would one day get to rule. In fact, though you may not be familiar with Octavian, you know that he was elevated ultimately to a Caesar himself, and you might recognize this name, Caesar Augustus. That's Octavian. I knew him well, and I was very connected to him, and I was very connected to the Roman Empire, and as a result, I drove out the Parthians from where they were there in Judea, and I decided that I would take that over with the blessing of Octavian, Caesar Augustus. In doing that, I had opportunity to rule sometimes with an iron fist, but what kings do is kings build. And that's what I did. I built great theaters for the people to enjoy. I built incredible racetracks for their own recreation. I built a fortress for myself called Masada. It was nearly impregnable. You wouldn't believe it even if you saw it. I built a lot of things. But I think maybe my engagement with this city called Caesarea was the biggest thing that I'm known for, possibly. It certainly was with the Romans, because I built it for my friend Octavian. He had been a benefactor to me, and as Caesar now, I wanted to build a city that was in honor of him, so I built Caesarea. Sure, I helped with Damascus and Beirut, what you would know as that city. I even helped the Greeks with Athens a little bit, surprisingly enough. But I was most proud, I think, of Caesarea, because it said a thank you to my Caesar. The one thing that the Jews were most impressed by was that I built them their temple back. Their temple was in disrepair, and I had the opportunity to build it. I called it Herod's temple, but the Jews certainly didn't like that moniker. But I built it back, and that seemed to matter to those people. If you're confused at this point that I'm the king of the Jews, but yet don't talk like a Jew, it's because I'm not one. In fact, I was an Idumean by birth. I was an Edomite, which meant, if you've done your history, that I was of the lineage of Esau, not of Jacob. So I wasn't a Jew. That didn't go over very well, by the way, with many of the Jews over which I was ruling. And as a result, I decided I would try and shut those people down from all their complaining and quell any rebellion by marrying Mariamne. Now, I liked Mariamne well enough, but Mariamne was a political move for me because she was of the Jewish Hasmonean dynasty, and I knew that if I married this heir to a Jewish estate, that I would have maybe the goodwill of the people. But it didn't exactly work out that way. You see, to the Jewish people, I was more the king over the Jews, not the king of the Jews. King of the Jews. That's the phrase. That's the one that bothers me. King of the Jews. And it started bothering me because of these magi, these wise men, these astrologers and astronomers from what you would know as maybe Iraq, coming into my city, Jerusalem, where my palace and my kingdom was, and they come in asking a lot of questions. It was a big caravan. They looked incredibly dignified. They looked unbelievably wealthy. And they came over from a foreign territory in the east. We didn't know what to make of that because we knew that the Magi were very powerful in the east. In fact, they were the kingmakers in the east. If they liked you, they could make you king, or they could dispose of you if they so desired. And when they showed up in my town, I started getting suspicious. They were walking all over the town, speaking to the people of Jerusalem and asking this question: where is he who is king of the Jews? Now, to be honest with you, I was a little confused at first. The reason I was so confused was because I am the king of the Jews. My people should have answered very quickly. When they asked, where is he who's king of the Jews? They should have just pointed the direction of the palace and said, Herod lives there. But that wasn't the response that they were giving. In fact, some were confused. Some made religious undertones about the Messiah. And so all Jerusalem's in an uproar. And when my city, in my territory, is in an uproar, I'm not happy about it. So I was confused, but then I started getting angry because I realized that they were not looking for me. They were looking for someone else, and I'm the king of the Jews, so why aren't they coming to me? And I started to get angry. And if you know anything about me, you don't want to be anywhere near me when I'm angry. I was going to have a meeting with these magi. But I decided before meeting with them, I was going to have a little look into what it was they were asking about. Hey, I might have been angry, but I didn't get to be king by being stupid. So I gathered the chief priests of the Jewish religion and the scribes, who were like the lawyers, the legal experts in the law, and I gathered them all together in a private meeting with me, and I said, these magi are asking, where is the king of the Jews? Tell me from your religion, where is this Messiah that you believe in supposed to be born? So they thumbed through the scrolls of their ancient writings, and they came across the prophet named Micah, who said this, and they paraphrased it to me by saying, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, you are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd his people Israel. I didn't like what I heard. I was upset. In fact, I was livid. But before I let go with all my emotions, I decided I would call the Magi and have them come and meet with me in particular. I told you, I wasn't stupid. I'm a king for a reason. So after finding out about where they were living, and by the way, the scribes and the chief priests didn't seem real interested. Bethlehem was only 6 miles from us. 6 miles from Jerusalem. And they said, this is where the Messiah is going to be born. Now we have people coming from the east saying that they've heard that this may be the case. And the people of this own religion, this Jewish religion, didn't even want to travel 6 miles to see if this was valid. They seemed rather apathetic. It was almost as if I cared more about what their prophecy said than they did. Maybe they were too comfortable with it. Maybe they'd heard it so often. I don't know. But I was not going to have somebody who was called king be anywhere in my territory threatening my dynasty. So I got the Magi together. I discreetly called them in, had a secretive meeting with them. And what I said to them was this. I prodded them, and they didn't even know. They were supposed to be so wise, but I was playing them like a violin. I was manipulating them and finding out how long they've been traveling, because I was trying to think of how old this child might be so that I could deal with him. So after they gave me some information, I told the Magi, you ought to look in Bethlehem. That's where the prophets have foretold that this king of the Jews is going to be born. And it's only 6 miles from here. So I urge you, make haste and go to Bethlehem and search carefully for this king of the Jews. But when you find him, please come back and tell me so that I can join you and go and worship him as well. Yeah, right. Like I was going to worship him or something. I was just playing them. Because I wanted them to give me the whereabouts of this supposedly soon-to-be king who was threatening my dynasty, and I was going to have to deal with him at that moment. So they left. They went to Bethlehem. They were gone for a day, then two, then three, then weeks. And I knew I'd been tricked. I can tell you this. As a king, I do the tricking. I don't get tricked. And now I had gone past livid, and I was furious to the point that I was going to deal with this in a manner that I knew how to deal with it. And by the way, you don't want to be around me, as I reminded you, when I'm furious. Because I had worked too hard and built too incredible of a kingdom for this to occur. For somebody, this little child, to threaten what I had. That was not going to happen, and I would do anything to make sure that it didn't happen. You ask anybody that I would do anything. Ask my brother-in-law, Aristobulus, brother of Mariamne. She nagged at me long enough to where I finally had him as my chief of the high priests over everybody, but I caught wind that he was not really my friend and that he seemed to have something up his sleeve, so I put him away. And when I say put him away, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Mariamne didn't like that very much. And she bothered me and nagged me and bothered me and nagged me to the point that I had had enough, so I put her away. And then her mom. And then I had three sons who were not loyal to their father. And I was smelling some conspiracy. So I had all of them executed as well. You don't want to be around me when I'm angry. And I will do anything to make sure that I protect the kingdom that I had worked so long to build. I'm in my 70s at this point. I'm not going to let all this go up in smoke. This child. For me, there was danger in that manger. And I was going to make sure that he was no threat to me. So you know what I did? I sent out a decree that in Bethlehem, all the male children 2 years old and younger would be put to death. Now, I knew the child wasn't yet 2 years old. I knew that, but I was just going to make sure that everybody got a very clear message and make sure that I got him in the process. So I gave that order and made sure that they were all put to death. Not me particularly, but I had my people do the job. But it didn't work, did it? That's why I'm standing here in front of you. You see, what I recognize is this, is that the king who came at Christmas requires a response from every one of us. Your response could be any of three that I could think of. First, you could respond like me, King Herod. You could respond by saying, there is no way that this child is going to lay claim to my life. There is no way that anybody, I don't care who he is or where he's come from, nobody is going to be the boss of me. This is my life. I do it my way. And nobody's going to tell me what to do. And I will do anything to make sure it stays that way. You can respond like me. But let me tell you something. Where I sit, it's the most foolish response that I ever made. Maybe you can react like the chief priests and the scribes, who were so very familiar with all the prophecies about the Messiah, but didn't care enough to go 6 miles to see if this is who it was that they had been looking for all along. Maybe you're pretty comfortable with your Christmas traditions, and you just want to leave well enough alone. You know all about the things of God. You know all about the story. You see it acted out, but you don't care to lay your life and check in with this king who claimed to be the king of the Jews. And by the way, he wasn't just king of the Jews. He was king of the universe. Or you can respond like the Magi, who would travel any distance and make any sacrifice to worship the king of every king. The choice is up to you this Christmas season. Will you choose wisely or will you choose foolishly? Because I stand here to tell you, from where I sit, Christmas can make fools of many.